You know the levels of anxiety, depression are just out of control.
Yeah.
And we need a plan to get back in control.
Hi, Dr. Raymond, are you okay?
So great to see you again. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you for coming on. I think now you are officially our most reoccurring guest, so that's wonderful to see.
I love that so much.
Yeah, so firstly, congratulations on the new release. I think, what is it, 18 best-selling books already, so are we going for number 19?
Well, let's hope so. And let's
Fingers crossed.
hope. And you know the levels of anxiety, depression are just out of control.
Yeah.
And we need a plan to get back in control. So I wrote Change Your Brain Every Day. It's, the daily habits to get control of your mind and your brain. And I'm really excited about it because it's the best things I've ever said. So it's like 366 short essays. So if you spent a year, including next year's leap year, if you spent a day or 5 or 10 minutes a day with me every day for a year, what would I teach you? And I'm just so excited to share it with the world.
It almost seems like I've read quite a lot of your books, and every single one, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, they're fantastic and they really help not only myself, but to educate and help the community as well. It almost seems like a greatest hit. So it looks like you've almost got the best parts from each book and put it together almost in like this masterpiece.
Yes, that's what I tried to do along with some exciting new things that I've been working on. There's a lot of stuff to help children who are struggling with brain and mental health things, new stuff on parenting that I have not written about before. Because did you see this study out last week where half of teenage girls are struggling with persistent sadness, and one out of five has had serious suicidal ideation, and one out of 10 have tried to hurt themselves. Just like this is just going the wrong
From
way.
your perspective, where do you think the education needs to start? Does it need to start at home with the parents or in the schools with the teachers?
I think it needs to start in preschool. I actually have a course at Amon University called Brain Thrive by Five, where we teach 4, 5, and 6 year olds to love and manage their brains. And, if you just, I gave a big lecture at a California education conference to like 2,500 teachers. And at the end, the curriculum director for the state of California came up to me and loved my talk. And I said, how many courses on brain health does California have for students? And she looked at her shoes and then she looked at me and said, none. And I'm like, because that's where it starts. It's sort of the big idea come. The conclusion I've come to from 230,000 brain scans is it's not mental health, it's brain health. Get your brain healthy, which means you have to feed it right and you can't hurt it, you can't poison it. Like alcohol and marijuana are poison for the brain. If you love it, feed it, care for it, you're just going to feels so much better. But so many people are doing the wrong things as a way to manage their anxiety, and that way they feel better for the moment, but worse in the long run. And we want them to feel good now and later. So,
what are you seeing in culture and research at the moment that suggests we need to pay more attention to brain health? So I know you just mentioned, obviously, covering it up with things like alcohol and marijuana. Is there any other things that we're doing detrimentally to impact our brain health?
So many. In the book, I have this writing device. If I was an evil ruler and I wanted to create mental illness, what would I do? And well, I suppose in the UK, you don't have Girl Scouts, or maybe you do have Girl Scouts.
We do. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And do they sell cookies door to door?
I'm not sure they do. No.
Well,
but
I
guess
the United
they do.
States,
there, yeah.
They do
yeah.
that. And there was a Girl Scout that set up her cookie table outside of a marijuana dispensary. And in a span of about 6 hours, she sold 300 boxes. And I thought that was just brilliant evil ruler strategy, is get little girls to sell sugar and trans fats to drug users. Other things in society, so fast food is obviously bad for the brain. And, well, you know, one thing that people don't think about is the toxins that we put on our body. You know, and more research comes out that if you lather your body with parabens and phthalates and artificial ingredients, those products you put on your body actually go into your body and negatively impact your body. And so these toxins are damaging us. The idea that, you know, I have this mnemonic I like called Bright Minds. You want to keep your brain healthy or rescue it, you have to prevent or treat the 11 major risk factors that steal your mind, and B is for blood flow. And our society, because of technology, we're becoming more and more sedentary. Mm-hmm. And that damages the brain and increases anxiety and depression. R is retirement and aging. Now we have ChatGPT. We have artificial intelligence. And new learning is essential to keep the brain healthy. But if you have all the information immediately at your fingertips, learning is actually going to go down. Mm. I mean, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with artificial intelligence. It's yet a new huge innovation that the brain is going to have to wrestle with. I is inflammation. So what's society doing to increase inflammation? Processed foods increase inflammation. Sugar increases inflammation. On average, Americans at least eat about 150 pounds of sugar a year. It's horrifying. Low omega-3 fatty acids. And I did a study at Amen Clinics, and we found that over 90% of people had low levels of omega-3 fatty acids. Not flossing. It's like, what is that about? If you have gum disease.
Gum inflammation, yeah.
You have heart disease and brain disease. It increases the risk of depression and Alzheimer's disease. We have this little lie in society. Well, I'm overweight because my family's overweight. Or I'm an alcoholic because it runs in my family. No, that's a lie. I mean, you may be vulnerable to it, but I have obesity and heart disease in my family. I don't have either. Why? Because I know my risk, and every day I'm on a prevention program. The H is head trauma. Brand new study just out yesterday from Sweden on professional soccer players have a significantly higher risk of dementia and memory and mood problems. So even though we idolize them, like the World Cup was so exciting and amazing this year. We're watching the destruction of families because, you know, as a dad gets traumatic brain injury, that level of stress in the family is just horrific. Tea is toxin. So what are we doing in our society? Alcohol is a health food. Marijuana is innocuous. And alcohol is not a health food, and marijuana is not innocuous. And we live, I don't know if this is true in the UK, I suspect it is, we live in a society of undisciplined thinkers. So you have the politicians calling each other names, focusing on the negative, always putting each other down. And that's the model for society. And it's a horrible model because basically, you know, they're not thinking in an honest, logical, rational way. I mean, they're just modeling hate.
And is there a way they want to keep us in this negative cycle?
Well, you know, that's a whole other issue about, you know, are the powers that be trying to control us by keeping us fat and feeble-minded. And, you know, there's clearly some evidence, you know, during the pandemic, there was evidence of control that was, I mean, they just got an F, as far as I'm concerned, by trying to vaccinate children, not letting them go to school, separating them from their peers. They're going to create a 70-year problem. These kids are going to have persistent problems for the rest of their lives. And we're seeing, I mean, we're just seeing the beginning of it with teenage girls beginning to fall apart. I'm just not okay with what happened. And if you had a different opinion, right? I mean, here in the United States, free speech is sort of important. There was no free speech. If you said things that the government didn't agree with, they were in bed with Facebook and Twitter and all those things, and they just blocked it. So that is not free speech. It's actually
pretty much the same over here too.
Yeah, and I think it's coming out, and I think they're going to have a much harder time doing that again, because a lot of really smart people went, no, there's something, there's a different agenda. And so if you can't trust, and you know, I've been a psychiatrist 40 years, and it used to be if somebody came into my office and said the NSA, the National Security Agency, is tapping your phone, they're listening to my conversations, while you put them on medicine for schizophrenia, you'd give them well, now it's absolutely true, they're listening. So it's making my job as a psychiatrist really, you know, much harder, because how do you know when someone's really paranoid, you know, is somebody really at to get you? But you know, I just found that brain and mental health are daily practices. And so, you know, no matter what's going on in society, you really should turn off the news. I mean, you should limit the news to like no more than 15 minutes a day, because the news really isn't the news. The news is, you know, they actually have scoreboards in their, I'm watching this series on television called Alaska Daily with Hillary Swank. It's really good, but it's about an Alaska newspaper. They have a scoreboard on which articles get the most hits, you know, and they have it at the Washington Post, and they have it at the New York Times, and they have it on Fox. So, and it's always the negative articles. So they feed us negativity to grab our attention so they can sell us more copper underwear. Yeah. And people should not be okay with this. Like, I start every day with an app I like, I have no financial interest in it, called the Good News Network. Yeah. And it just always gives me a smile So I follow, start my day yeah, with a
I
smile.
follow things exactly, similar Instagram accounts with good news, like you say. And I love this statement that you say every single morning when you get up, if you like to share that with our community.
Today is going to be a great day.
Yeah.
I got to talk to you. I always love talking to you. And when I go to bed at night, I say a prayer and then I go, what went well today? And I'm serious about this. I go on a treasure hunt. I'm looking hour by hour until I fall asleep. What happened that I liked? And, you know, the stuff I don't like will sort of try to creep in. But I imagine a big broom, sweep it away. You know, I'll focus on the trouble stuff later. When I go to bed, that's the time to focus on what went well. And then it sets your dreams up to be more positive, which means tomorrow I'm going to feel better.
100%.
And I make sure I turn off blue light going into my eyes. So I put blue light blockers on my laptop and on my phone. Because if you don't sleep well, you're not going to think well. And people who have caffeine get less sleep than people who don't have caffeine.
Is it true is it true people dealing with high levels of anxiety have less deeper sleep?
Yes. And, you know, so having good strategies to enhance your sleep are so important. Like if you wake up with a cortisol surge in the middle of the night, yeah. That is a time to do, I call it the 15-second breath. And you know, breath work is so important. And you can actually control it. And so I teach people 4 seconds in, like take a big breath, hold it for a second and a half, and then take 8 seconds to breathe out and hold it for a second and a half. And if you do this for just 3 minutes, that cortisol sort of calms down. In fact, you know, breaking a panic attack, that's one of the days in the book. It's don't leave when you're having a panic attack, because if you leave, anxiety now controls you, unless, of course, it's dangerous. But if it's not dangerous, don't leave. So if you're having a panic attack in the middle of a grocery store, so many people just leave. It's like, no, force yourself to stay. Do that 15-second breath. You probably just need to do 4 or 6 of them. Write down any negative thoughts coming in your mind. And if you're still not calm, then take some theanine or magnesium or ashwagandha or GABA, and you'll get control of this. But it's about discipline. And, you know, I'm so excited. One of my patients, who's public knowledge, I treat her, Alicia Newman. She's a Canadian pole vaulter, and she had a bad concussion. And she's an Olympian, but no one had ever taught her how to manage her mind. And I'm like, you can jump 15 feet in the air over a pole, and no one has taught you how to manage your mind. Mm. And so we have her practice over and over, seeing the jumps perfectly, perfectly, that any negativity decreases her coordination. And as we practice this, she became the world indoor pole vaulting champion for 2023. I'm so proud of her. But it requires discipline. And if you have an anxiety disorder, you've practiced negativity for a long time. Yeah. And so you have to practice positivity in order to help you. And I'm not like the biggest fan of positive thinking. I'm the biggest fan of accurate thinking, because too many people with anxiety disorders are just masterful. This god-awful thing is going to happen where you have no idea about that. And if you're not writing horror novels, try to stay present and predict what's actually going to happen, what good thing is going to happen.
Regarding the positive thoughts, I completely agree with you, because when someone's obviously anxious, they have these automatic negative thoughts, don't they? And I have a lot of people, Dr. Amon, who say, what can I do to help me with intrusive thoughts that really take a hold on the everyday? Is there anything in the book that touches on intrusive thoughts, or is there any advice that you could give them?
There's a whole bunch of days on killing the ants, the automatic negative thoughts that steal your happiness. This is so important. I used to have terrible thoughts. I mean, my mind used to, like, something bad would happen and then I'd make it worse and then I'd make that worse. And, you know, if I was almost in an accident, rather than thank God, I would see the accident. I'd see my car explode. I'd see myself getting burned with fire. I'd see the ambulance being late. And when I got to the hospital, I'd be burned like over 80% of my body. And the nurse wasn't even cute. So my mind was just out of control in a negative way. And for about a month, I wore a rubber band on my wrist. And every time my mind started going to the dark place, I'd snap it.
Right.
Just to, like, go, hey, you don't have to believe this.
Yeah.
And the more you train yourself to stop that, the more you stop it. And what I teach my patients is something I learned from Byron Katie, is write down the thought and identify which kind of ant it is. We talk about 9 different species of ants, like fortune telling, mind reading, blaming, labeling, focusing on the negative, all or nothing thinking. And so identify what kind of ant it is, and then ask yourself, is this true? Like, if I had the thought, Tana never listens to me, my wife, and I've had that thought. I'm like, so I write it down and it's like, well, is that true? And it's like, no, she listens to me a lot. Is it absolutely true? Nope. How does it make me feel? Lonely, angry, anxious. And how would I feel without the thought? Normal, fine, happy. And then my favorite part of intrusive thought work, or ant killing work, is take the original thought and turn it to its opposite. And then ask yourself if the opposite of the thought isn't true. Tana does listen to me. Well, she does. And if I meditate on that, I'm not upset. And it's me directing my mind rather than just letting the neurons control me.
Yeah.
Another fun technique, there's a whole day in the book I talk about, give your mind a name. And it's based on a concept called psychological distancing from the noise in your head. And if you can separate from the chatter, you just stop suffering. You just sort of get curious about the chatter.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you know, I'll sort of check in. But I named my mind after my pet raccoon when I was 16. I actually had a pet raccoon, and I loved her. And they can make 200 different sounds. But she was a troublemaker. You know, she would TP my mother's bathroom, toilet paper my mother's bathroom. She ate all the fish out of my sister's aquarium.
Oh, gosh.
She would leave raccoon poo in my shoes. And that's my mind, right? Mm. So many people have undisciplined minds, it produces all this negativity. Well, if you separate from it and you watch it, well, you don't have to attach it, because it's not the thoughts you have that make you suffer. It's the thoughts you attach to that make you suffer. We all have weird, crazy, stupid, sexual, violent thoughts that nobody should ever hear, right? Your brain is a sneaky organ. And I had one of my patients, he had a sexual thought about one of his daughter's teenage friends. Well, that is not uncommon. But he thought he was a pedophile and just beat himself up for that. Now, I'm like, did you approach her sexually? He said, no, I'd never do that. I said, did you text sir, did you do anything inappropriate? He's like, I would never do anything like that. He's not a pedophile. His brain just had a thought. It's, you know, we're human and we have things like testosterone. It's not the thoughts you have that make you suffer. It's the thoughts you attach to. Well, he attached to a label of being a pedophile and just beat himself up. Now, that doesn't mean if he had done something, we'd have to fix his brain because that's bad. That's wrong.
Yeah.
But just having a thought.
And yeah, I think when you have this, I think when you have the spark of anxiety as well from the thought, that's almost confirmation to you that you're scared of the thought because you're getting anxious from it. Regarding the where they come from, so a lot of people say, well, yeah, that's I'm not that thought. Why are they coming into my consciousness? Am I right in saying that it's a mixture of all things? So it could be from your parents, from the people that you surround yourself from even music or films that you're watching, and it's just a mixture of everything.
It's from the voices of your parents, siblings, friends, foes, the news you watch, the music you listen to. And have you ever interviewed Mark Wolin?
Say that again.
Have you ever interviewed Mark Wolin?
No.
He wrote a great book, and I think you would really like it.
Right.
It's called It Didn't Start With You, and it's about epigenetics. And sometimes your thoughts don't even belong to you. Sometimes they happened in another generation, and they affected your genetic code. It's this term we call epigenetics, where a trauma in your parents or grandparents changed their genes and they passed those changed genes on to you. So in the book, I talk about a study about how your anxiety may not be yours. They took mice and they made them afraid of the scent of cherry blossoms. They shocked them whenever that scent was in the air. Well, that's just a classical conditioning experiment. But what they found was their babies were afraid of the scent of cherry blossoms, and their grandbabies were afraid of the scent of cherry blossoms.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That sometimes your anxiety may not even be your anxiety. And so learning to discipline and manage your mind. There's another day in the book I talk about the one-page miracle. Write down what you want. Relationships, work, money, physical, emotional, spiritual. Write it down. Put it on one piece of paper and look at it every day. Too many people never develop clarity for their lives. And then you just go, oh, does this thought fit what I want? Is it consistent? Does it get me what I want? And too many people just live in with undisciplined minds that take them away from what they want.
What would you say for our community specifically, some daily practices from the book that each of them can start to help with their brains, that they can literally start today?
So there are dozens. I worked with BJ Fogg for 6 months. He's a professor at Stanford and runs their persuasive tech lab on how people change. And we develop 50 tiny habits for the brain and change your brain every day. And the most important tiny habit is when you go to make a decision in your day, it's a 3 second tiny habit. Ask yourself, is this good for my brain or bad for it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can answer that with information and love, love of yourself, love of your family, love of the reason you're on the planet, you just start making better decisions. So you just have to know the list, right? Brain health is 3 things. Brain envy, got to care about it. Avoid things that hurt it. Do things that help it. So when you go to make a decision, you know, do I want to eat the orange or drink the orange juice? Orange is good for your brain. Orange juice is bad because it's too much sugar. You just start making better decisions. whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, write down what you're thinking. And then just ask yourself whether or not it's true. When your heart starts going fast and you start feeling anxious, just kick in that 15-second breath. It's so helpful. Or if you feel like you're being triggered and you know trauma from the past is infecting your presence, there's just a simple concept of havening, of bilateral hemisphere stimulation. So I don't like it when you block your feelings. I want you to always go into them and go, I wonder where this came from. And so I'll give you an example I talk about in the book. About 3 years ago, my father died. He had COVID, and then he had Epstein-Barr. And it was just an awful day. And that morning, I said, today's going to be a great day. Well, it wasn't. When I went to bed that night, I went, what went well today? And I thought of like five things that went well that day, even though it was an awful day. And that helped me go to sleep. Well, 2 days later, I'm at my mom's house, and I'm going through a stack of papers, and some idiot put a picture of my dead dad in the mortuary in a random stack of papers. And it just, I was furious. I mean, I was grieving, but I was like, what idiot would do that? And how could someone do that? That's so awful. And I remember, because like the 15th time I thought about that, I'm like, oh, you treat people who have this problem. And what I did is I sat and thought about that picture, and then I started havening. So it's bilateral hemisphere stimulation for about 30 seconds, six times.
Yeah.
And after, and I'm like into it, after the second time, the image stopped bothering me. And after the fourth time, I fell in love with that picture because I realized it was the last picture of my father on earth. And havening is just so helpful when you get triggered. And there are just lots of simple tools to help you get under control.
Regarding someone being in a hyper state of alertness, so they almost feel like they're in fight or flight as soon as they wake up, and they're overwhelmed by their anxiety. Is there any go-to method that can get them out of that, or is it a process that they're going to have to go through it and do all the steps that you say?
Well, they could do a cold plunge. That'll probably get them out of it quickly. it will give them a surge of adrenaline, but then that will calm them down. Right. But my favorite, though, because I'm like not a big fan of suffering, is do the diaphragmatic breathing.
Yeah.
And do it for 3 minutes, three or four times a day. It's all of 12 minutes. And it will make a dramatic positive difference. I'm also a huge fan of hypnosis.
Right.
And I found hypnosis very powerful for anxiety and powerful to uncover some of the causes of anxiety. Yeah. Of course, if you're in this hyper aware state, you want to make sure you check your thyroid because being hyperthyroid can make you hyper anxious for sure. And you also want to make sure you check your ferritin and iron levels, because low iron levels go with anxiety. Or being anemic can go with anxiety. So making sure you check your important health numbers is critical. And then I often will prescribe an elimination diet for my patients. I'm like, let's just try it for a month. Get rid of gluten, dairy, corn, soy, artificial dyes, and sweeteners, just for a month.
Yeah.
Unbelievable how much success we have with that. I had one guy, I tell this story in the book, where I had this guy who had failed like 30 treatments for depression. And he wanted to come in and like do psilocybin. That's like the new thing, right? Everybody wants to do mushrooms. And I'm like, let's try the elimination diet first. And he'd even had ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, 3 times.
Right.
Did the elimination diet. Within 3 weeks, he felt better. I'm like, how excited. I was like so happy for him. I'm like, let's try gluten. Added gluten back into his diet. Nothing happened. I said, let's try dairy. Added dairy back into his diet. Nothing happened. Let's try corn. Added corn back into his diet. He said within 20 minutes, he had a vision of a gun in his mouth pulling the trigger. Like, break up with corn.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, break up with corn. And he's like, I love corn. I said, but it doesn't love you back. And that's really important. Only love food that loves you back.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And I love that. Just another one of the nuggets that you say. For everyone who wants to get the book, where can they get it? Obviously, it's out now. Where's the best place for them to get it? And also, where can they learn more about Eamon Quinitz? Because we have a big, large USA following over here. And I often get people asking, how do we get information on the Eamon Quinitz?
So they can get Change Your Brain every day, anywhere great books are sold, and learn about Eamon Clinics at Eamon, like the last word in a prayer, clinics.com. And they can follow me on Instagram at doc_Eamon or on TikTok at Doc Eamon. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that you helped me spread this message. I know our missions are similar, and I am very grateful to you.
No, it's always a pleasure speaking to you and to your wonderful wife. We can't wait to speak to Tanner again on the community. But yeah, congratulations with the book. We wish you all the success with it. And you know the DLC Anxiety community will be supporting you every way.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Take care. Good to see you.
Bye, everybody.